As I mentioned, we're going to watch the bishop's message in a few moments, but a couple reflections on the readings today first and foremost. There's not a lot of things that people can agree on the world today, but one thing that unites Christians, Jews, and people of the Islamic faith is this one title for Abraham, and that is Father in Faith. All three of the world's main religious traditions look to this same person. We can't all agree on Jesus, Jews, Christians, and Muslims, but we can agree about Abraham. We all call him Father in Faith. How did he get that title? Because of his total blind trust in a God he could not see. And he was one of the first people that we know of in the world at that time to believe in the one God, when so many other peoples and countries had gods for every purpose under the sun, including a god of the sun and of the moon, and a god of fertility and agriculture and war and land and sea, you name it, a god for every purpose. But Abraham believed there was just one, and when that God told him, I want you to gather up all your belongings and all your people and head out to a land I will show you, without question, comment, or delay, Abraham began that journey. If it was me, if it was you, perhaps we'd want a little more information before we were willing to do this. What is this country? How far is it? Is it safe there? Are we ever coming back this way again? Will this journey be long? Will it be hard or easy? So many things would stand between us and readily accepting this mission God might give to us. And yet Abraham left it all behind. Little could he have known that it was going to be a 600-mile journey on foot through the desert, ending at the land flowing with milk and honey at that time known as Canaan. Today we call it Israel. He also couldn't have known that God was going to lead him into the midst of a war. Four kings fighting against three kings. And Abraham caught in the middle of it, such a desperate situation. His nephew Lot, whom he loved like a son, was kidnapped. Furthermore, Abraham could have questioned, you say I'm going to become the father of nations, and yet I'm not a father at all. He was 80 years old. Childbearing had long since passed by him and Sarah, not for lack of trying. And yet Abraham trusted, if this is God's will, he will see it through. All I have to do is go along for the ride. And he did, and that is why he is called Father in Faith. Jesus was calling his apostles to go with him on a journey, and like Abraham, they left everything, and they weren't too sure about the destination, but they had some idea. And here in the gospel today, in the middle of the 17th chapter of Matthew, things have become more clear. Peter, James, and John are with Jesus on top of Mount Tabor, and they're awakened from their sleep in the night by what was so bright it seemed as if the sun had passed in front of the moon in a solar eclipse. And what it really is Jesus not just standing on the mountaintop, but floating over the mountaintop. He's levitating there, and he's not alone. He has Elijah on one side and Moses on the other. They've never seen anything like this. And Moses and Elijah had both been gone from the earth for more than 900 years. How is this possible? What is it they are seeing? It makes more sense if we understand what happened earlier in this same chapter. At the beginning of Matthew chapter 17, Jesus, who had asked his apostles to leave everything to follow him, finally informed them about their destination. They had always thought that even though Jesus was meek and mild, someday he would put down the shepherd's staff and take up a sword and begin to settle scores with their enemies, starting with the Roman Empire, which by that point had occupied Israel and Judah for a century. But Jesus informed them at the beginning of this chapter in Matthew's gospel that he wasn't taking up the sword. He was going to take up his cross. And he told them if they want to be his disciples, they must do the same. Deny yourselves, take up your crosses, and follow me. He informed them that he was going to die. He told them they were going to suffer because they professed belief in him as the Christ. And that all happens before just Peter, James, and John are taken with Jesus on top of that mountain. So in the wake of the prediction about his death, which troubled them greatly, now all of a sudden they see in this bright light a snapshot of the risen Christ. This was letting them know that his story does not end in death. What appears to be his darkest hour will in fact become his finest hour. And so he will overcome, and so will those who believe in him if they continue to have faith and trust in God and Jesus as God and go along for this journey without question, comment, or delay. In doing so, those apostles were being asked to live out the first sentence that Paul speaks to Timothy in the second reading today, a willingness to bear our share of hardships for the gospel. Jesus bared a heavy load in order to open the gates of heaven, and we should work out our salvation with some blood, sweat, and tears mixed in to show that we want it as much as God wants it for us. And on this DSA Sunday, as we begin the Diocesan Services Appeal for 2020, our bishop, who is the successor to those apostles, is asking us to join him also on a journey. Happy are those who trust in the Lord is the theme of DSA 2020. And as the bishop looks for our participation, which at Queen's has to amount to $162,000 for the diocese to meet its $5.2 million goal, we're going to listen to my boss tell us about DSA and why we should become involved.